He's facing second-degree murder charges now. He's frightened. That would frighten any one of us.
Against all odds, we want 11 states. Millions of voters.
When you hire Ozzie Guillen, you know what you're hiring. But this was something very different, and Ozzie knows that.
I'm very, very, very sorry about what happened.
Mitt Romney running around the country. Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life.
Well, let's get to work here. What a week, and let's look back at it on this Friday the 13th with Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Ron, welcome to the program.
Morning.
And also with us, Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com. Hey there, Farai.
Hello.
And Mary Elizabeth Williams, staff writer for Salon.com. Welcome to you as well.
Good morning.
So, Farai, let me begin with you. Suddenly, Mitt Romney strong with women after all this Hillary Rosen fallout.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, I think that there's two separate issues. One is, are people thinking that Mitt Romney's wife was wronged? Yes, she was. Anyone who raises children is working. So let's just establish that. That doesn't mean that Mitt Romney himself is suddenly beloved by all women, particularly women who want reproductive rights. But I do think it was a terrible misstep to say that someone who's raised children has never worked a day in her life, regardless of income. You know, there's no question that if you're a single mother or a mother in a dual income household where both people work and you're also raising kids, that's stressful. But, you know, having five kids, I'm sure, is stressful no matter what.
Hey, let me tell you.
That's right.
Let me tell you. Yeah. But we won't go there. All right. I'm surprised by this. Hold on to that thought, Farai. I'm surprised, Ron Christie, that a pundit is driving this. It would be one thing if Michelle Obama had said this or Barack Obama had said this or campaign director had said this. But this is just a talk TV team play. Do you feel like a Republican team player when you go on this program and talk? Are you speaking for the Romney campaign? If you say something, are you going to cause a flap that's going to get you to resign?
No, and what the listeners can't see is I'm shaking my head. No, I come on and I speak as Ron Christie and I offer my opinion as a Republican and as a conservative. What gets me about this, and I, full disclosure, I'm friends with Hillary Rosen. I think she's a good person, but boy, did she step in it. And the thing that Farai said that's exactly right, regardless of income, you can't say to someone, if you're raising five children, that you're not working, that you're not somehow contributing to a household. I think it reinforces an image of an elitist, out-of-touch individual. And you've seen how quickly the president, the first lady, and all the Democratic establishment have rushed out to say, oh, she's not with us, even though, as you point out, she's just a talking head on the television and the radio.
Yeah, she's about as popular in the White House today as a North Korean rocket scientist is in Pyongyang, I would say. Mary Elizabeth Williams, which is a bigger story, the Santorum dropping out of the race or this Rosen flap?
I just want to say I miss Santorum already.
Yeah.
the entertainment value. You know, sitting here listening to everybody and sitting across from Celeste, who is also a working mother, as am I, you know, I do have to say that I think that the reason that those comments were so explosive is because they did touch a nerve, not just with stay-at-home mothers, but with working mothers. And I think that the reason that it became so explosive and the reason that it will continue to be so explosive, I think this is not going to go away, is because mothers who hold down jobs and who work outside of the home really are feeling this incredible sense of pressure and are feeling that they don't want to be told that they're doing it wrong, and they certainly don't want their lives and their work privileges dictated by people who don't understand the struggles that they go through.
Although in our household, I'll say, Farai, that my wife, who's raised five kids but who also works very hard at home, she found the remarks offensive but also didn't necessarily have a whole lot of sympathy with the struggles of someone in a family where there was $250 million, and she wasn't unsympathetic to the struggles that Ann Romney has. The question is, will this obliterate some of the other issues you were talking about, Farai?
Well, you know, I mean, campaigns are cyclical in terms of how they address issues. I personally think that that women in America face enormous challenges of every path. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mother, you're going to face issues of, you know, sometimes social isolation. Not so much maybe if you've got a huge pot of money and a husband who's politically active, but many women face social isolation. Working women face guilt and juggling. Women who don't have kids face questions often about well, why didn't you, or what's wrong with you? So there's a huge reevaluation going on right now of the role of women in society. And I would actually like to see that continue in a productive way. But unfortunately, I think this is going to be a flashpoint in the campaign. Mm-hmm. And women are going to be used more as tools and objects than subjects.
And we're going to see more of that as the flap sort of continues in the early going. But we'll see where it lands after the conventions. Let's talk about the arrest of George Zimmerman. Is this going to be, Ron Christie, a trial of the Stand Your Ground law in Florida, a trial of the NRA who helped write that law, a trial of Sanford law enforcement, or a race trial?
Sadly, John, I think it's going to be all of the above. I think it's remarkable, first of all, that a original prosecution team looking at this found nothing. They found no evidence to charge him for manslaughter, murder in the second degree, murder in the first degree. And you have a new special prosecutor who came down and within 3 weeks has issued an information for second degree murder. So it raises the question to me of, is there sufficient evidence here to bring a charge? Was this a charge brought to sort of mollify a mob? And or was this something to mollify those who say that blacks are treated differently in American society than whites and other people of non-color? So I think you have all of the above here. And it's a very troubling situation for me of, will we really have justice brought in this case, or are we going to have a show trial?
Farai?
Yeah, I would have to echo what Ron says and also add to it, though, that we are beginning to follow the money. To me, that's always been the issue. Where has the lobbying money gone? There's a consortium called ALEC, as an acronym, which now companies are pulling back because, among other things, they've been involved in gun laws. We need to scrutinize who's doing lobbying, where they're getting the money, what corporations are buying into that. That will help change the political system and help make Americans safer.
And, you know, the supposition this morning, maybe it's not a supposition, maybe it's the affidavit literally filed by the prosecution, suggests that he profiled, that an individual profiled an African-American male in this case. That's what George Zimmerman was doing, which seems to me what we're going to get here, Mary Elizabeth Williams, is suddenly a discussion of what constitutes self-defense. What is this whole stand your ground, we can fight off the criminal hordes politics when it comes down to tests in the law of what you are permitted to do, particularly if you're holding a gun?
And it's going to so much come down to that 911 call. And it's going to, I think, come down to that moment when George Zimmerman was told he didn't have to follow Trayvon Martin, and he did anyway. And one of the things that I think is most interesting about this and is going to make this case so historic is, as my colleague Joan Walsh wrote in Salon.com this week, that this is a story of a death that would have otherwise likely been ignored. It's certainly a story that has played out many times before in this country, but social media has really changed it. And the persistence of social media in this and the persistence of illuminating it and shining a light on this story is really what's changed it.
Social media. Okay, so we got Ron Christie, the tweetmeister here. We've got Salon.com's Mary Elizabeth William and Farai.com. Any of you guys working on a social media startup that might rival Instagram's purchase by Facebook? Farai, you must be ahead of all of us, right?
Oh, no. I have a very small digital project I'm working on, which I will reveal at some other point, which will probably make me no money and make me happy, which is what my digital projects tend to do. But I think the Instagram purchase by Facebook, you have a $1 billion sale based on a company that basically generates no revenue. Mm-hmm. But it's one of these, you know, every place from Google to Facebook, you know, and even Twitter, acquire companies that essentially provide essential building blocks, kind of DNA that they want to bring into their company. And Instagram is incredibly sticky. It's you know, kind of crosses platforms for mobile.
Retro photo service that people have and is widely used. You know, we got to go. There's lots to talk about there. Finally, before we do, Farai, Ron, and Mary, Fidel Castro, the controversy alive and well in baseball. Are you surprised, Ron?
No, Ozzie Guillen stepped in it, and I think he's going to be forced to resign.
Really? Farai, any thoughts? You're a big sports fan up there. I know. Following the Rangers really closely.
I'm a fan of race and ethnicity studies, and I think that younger Cuban Americans don't have the same perspective as the expats.
Fascinating. Absolutely true, though, as well. And that's the responses that we've been getting all week long. Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com, Mary Elizabeth Williams, staff writer at Salon.com, and Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Have a safe Friday the 13th, won't you?
Thank you. Do our best.
Go Yankees.
Cabin in the woods.
Wait, did you just say go Yankees?
I did. Opening day.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.